event. We're excited about that for children. If you have any questions or concerns, just get with Sister Victoria or Sister Candy about the details. They're currently doing a fundraiser for jams and future events. We want to support that. That's a great cause. The 30th will be our mission pledge deadline, and then the 31st will be United Fellowship. And I know who makes these announcements, and Sister Elisa, but she did not put her name on there. She's the speaker for that. And so that's exciting. I know she's being humble about that, but we want to attend that and be a part of that. Why don't you just go ahead and stand up, and let's just enter into this time with thanksgiving and praise. Aren't you thankful for another day of life? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. God, you alone are worthy of all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. God, there's nobody like you. There's none beside you. There's none that can do the things you do. Oh, God, you're worthy. You're mighty, God. Praise will always see us through. Oh, God, we bless your name. You are holy. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Room, do what you want to,
feel that way tonight, I refuse to come to church and leave the same way that I walked in this place. God's been too good. His victory is too true for us to sit in the same issues that we walked in with. Oh, praise is an open door. An open door to an open heaven. Help us, Jesus. Praise. I know there's more. I know there's more. More of your presence. Hallelujah. Why don't you just take a moment to give him some praise? Thank you, Jesus, for the breath in our lungs. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy and grace that we are so undeserving of, but we're so grateful, God. Thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Sister Dickey, Sherry Harrison, Sister Cindy Crawford, Cheshire, Danny Bramlett, Brother Griffith, and Dawn and Donna Howell. If you have a need or you'd like to step in for one of these names that were mentioned, now is the time. Let faith arise in this moment. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to worship you. In spirit and in truth, God, I pray that you would have your way in this place. God, you know every need and you have the answer, God. So we pray it in your name, by your will, God, that you would have your way in every situation, God. You are worthy of all the praise, all the glory, all the honor, God. You know every need mentioned. I pray that you would touch Brother Dickey. I pray that you would touch Sister Dickey, Brother Griffith, God. I pray that you would continue to touch the family of Brother Arlton Bristow. I pray that you just continue to be with them. Oh God, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are mighty. Thank you, Jesus.
Do whatever you want to. God bless you as you're seated. Before we sing another song or chorus in a few minutes, I'd like to present to us during these times of making a choice about a future and the pastor being voted on. And so membership is extremely critical in the setting of voting to change leadership and other things. And so it's very important. And so if you have not signed up, and you need to do that if you want to help in the voting process. So I'm going to read to you the part of the history and the work of our church and the membership role. So as we approach the selection of our new pastor, it's important that everyone understands the qualifications required to vote. According to our church bylaws, Article 2, membership, and the UPCI Articles of Faith, a qualified voting member must meet the following criteria. 6 months of membership. Must have been a member for at least 6 months. Repented, been baptized, and you must have experienced the true repentance and been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, according to Acts 2:38, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. There should be evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit as demonstrating by speaking in other tongues. Tithing and offerings are expected to regularly contribute to those tithes and offerings. Regular attendance, consistent attendance at church services is required. Lifestyle of holiness, you should have live a life that reflects Christian values and strives for holiness. If you're unsure whether you meet these qualifications, please contact Sister Mary Lou Martin, our secretary. And if you want to write this phone number down just in case you need it or some of your friends need it, that is 903-905-1091. For clarification, you need that number. So thank you for your commitment and faith as we move forward to this important process of moving and changing several things. It's a wonderful thing, but the important things will not be changing. The doctrine, the love for brotherhood, lifestyle of godliness, and so all of those things won't change. But some things will in the way it is put out there. Some of us preachers, we preach 600 or 700 words every 5 minutes. Some of us preach about 50. So sometimes we go slow, sometimes we go fast. So anyhow, if you have any questions about that, please feel free. Again, I'm going to give you that number. I wanted to give you a minute to get that. That's 903-905-1091. So God bless you. And as they sing another song, we'll move forward. And so great to see you tonight.
We can take our Wednesday night offering. There's an usher back there. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to give in our worship and our tithes. I pray that you would bless the giver, bless those who are unable to give, God. I pray that you would keep your hand on those who are unable to be here in service, and just keep your hand on our pastor as he ministers to us. In Jesus' name. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, praise.
God bless you as you're seated. Is that going to be able to work on their PowerPoint? While he's getting that set up, I would like to read to you something that I found today in some of my repertoire of things. And the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. That's Proverbs 30th chapter, verse 28. The rendering of the writer concerning that from his point of view, the spider is not popular, but she is diligent and aggressive and gets things done. If one web is swept away, she spins another and doesn't hesitate to take up quarters. Pardon me. Even in the king's palace. I really like that. She doesn't wait on anybody to give her a spot in a great place. Let's move on. So might you and I dwell in spiritual king's palaces if only we took hold by the hand of faith, if we took hold of God's grace and took hold of opportunity and took hold of life with a positive eye to business instead of timidly and gingerly. We should live in the courts of the king instead of in some spiritual attic. We get mixed up in our ideas of humility. It is never to be consistent with a holy boldness, inconsistent, for we take hold in the name of another. Since he is our high priest, we may come boldly in the throne of grace. And since he hath said, we may boldly say, and in Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 16th verse, and the 12th chapter and the 6th verse, if you have a spirit of fear, you didn't get it from God. For he hath not given us such torment. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. Take hold boldly by faith and dare to spin your web in the king's palace. Don't live in the attic. I thought that was good, and I knew all of you would really enjoy that, so I brought that tonight for you. Now we're going to move hopefully into the message that I am thinking that God helped me to arrive at. And so you've already seen it. And so Eden was perfect. Adam and Eve were perfect. That was the beginning of the God and the glory of an atmosphere that was perfect. And there was no danger of death because they were living in the superlative of life. It is God's will, and it is God's desire. It is God's effort to make sure that there is somebody in your life that will preach the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and to walk uprightly in the fear of the Lord. So tonight we're going to try to move carefully through some of this. Eden was perfect, and I wrote it in my notes because I wanted to remember how awesome it was this past week to iterate some of the space program and some of the things that were going on way out yonder. And can you imagine what it was like for those people that went out there? And my wife sort of helped me to realize, you know, how they just floated around. And it was one of the things that really attracted my attention was that their hair didn't hang to its head. It just hung out there in the open. Just amazing how God's got this whole thing worked out. Ladies and gentlemen, if he could do that, don't you even think about it being a problem for him to get you out of a grave or get you out of this world and get you over to the holy house of God forever. It is wonderful to share those kind of things with us. Eden was perfect. And, of course, you've heard me recently say it several times over. And so I put the demons right over there in there. And it was an attraction, that little demon that got in there and began to weird out the perfect life of Adam and Eve. And so they got to thinking and they got to looking and finally they gave in and thought, you know what? I'll do what I want to do. That's never a good idea when God has planted us in a thing that's called the holiness of God, the glory of God, the power of God, living under the canopy of the name of Jesus, which all authority is in that name. And so it's a wonderful thing. And so in as we move forward here, I may have gotten loose here. The fall happened. Adam and Eve lived in weakness and sin. They had the law, and the history of that huge event, and then the poetry and the prophecy and the prophets, the major prophets, the minor prophets, throughout your Bible, you get to see all of that until you come to the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and these people that followed Christ and they experienced Christ and they wrote about Christ and they gave their life for Christ. And so it's not a real problem for us to give our life totally to Jesus Christ, unless that we want to walk in the distance from the promises and walk in the shadows of the beauty of holiness and godliness and righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, a few of you have heard me say this. You know, it just amazes me. I have never seen anybody cuss or get a cussing that really enjoyed it. And I've never seen anybody talk in tongues that didn't enjoy it. Just really bothers me to think that with the composition of thought patterns like America has been given and many other areas, and God says, howbeit in the Spirit we speak mysteries, for the Spirit itself maketh intercession with the Father. Father, we've tried to identify this. Father just simply means source. And I'll mention the word head again tonight. And headship just simply means that we as the head are responsible parties. God was the head of Christ. Christ was the head of the church, or the head of man. And then the man is the head of the woman, responsible. It doesn't take a lot of study to read that stuff and experience that reality. It's not some superiority. It is a responsible level of giving and sharing and being together in places. When one person is hurting, the other one helps. And so it works out. And so then the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the action happens. Faith without works is dead. So the activity level began to move forward. And Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, All of a sudden, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. It wasn't like one guy over there, and oh, well, I felt the wave come from. No, it set upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Could you just praise God for the opportunity that has been given to us tonight to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to have superiority over the demons and the powers of darkness through the Spirit? It is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to be in Christ Jesus, a new creation. Then the epistles, letters to the churches. They had people back then that were get a little out of line every now and then. And you can read those letters to the churches, the church at Corinth, the church at Rome, to the some of the preachers, young preachers. The teachings and all are put in that book. So the epistles, the letters to the churches for hope and those that were born of the Holy Ghost. And then when you get to the book of Revelation, and you see the revealing curtain pull back. When you start reading the book of Revelation, it's like somebody pulling a curtain back and said, I'm going to show you what is waiting for you and I over on the other side of the graveyard. We, some of us, may never make it to the graveyard. But if we do, the Bible said, the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Hallelujah. Could you praise God for the idea even? Just the substantiation of it. And so what a wonderful thing. And then the judgment. This is why we come together in church services. We are judged by the preaching of the word. We are judged by the element of spiritual virtues that are flowing. And if you can see somebody that's having a greater time than you, then you know that the same God is willing to give you everything they're getting. Now, the giftings are not always the same. The gift of the Holy Ghost is the same. But the giftings of the Spirit, to one the word of wisdom, to the one the word of knowledge, to one the word of working of miracles. Those things are a little bit in the categorical level. So today, we're thinking about that idea, those people way out yonder. I had it in my mind, I think it was 214 million miles that they went as that thing. Anybody want to go next week? You just like to watch them go, don't you? It's an amazing thing. But when we got to thinking about it and talking about it, when I would hear about different things, I didn't follow it as close personally. But ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to need a rocket. You're not going to need this flesh. Those that are in Christ Jesus who die are going to arrive first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with him. You're going to get a body that you've been wanting. You've been looking for a body that you could just do whatever you needed to get done. And you would have the muscle, or you would have the wisdom, or you would have the superiority over weakness, etc. So humans continue to try to find a great life, a more wonderful life, an overcoming life, spending enormous time and money. Why would we not seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? If we know that those that are not even walking in the faith, loving God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, if they are trying to create new development in cars and airplanes and etc., and then now go to the moon and hang out there for several days. That's huge. And they're still working on new dimensions of life. So when the Bible turns around and says to his beloved, his people, grow in grace and in knowledge, and your life will become so much more superior than you can imagine. I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has got going for us. So in the Word of God, Psalms 20 and 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Don't let trouble trouble you. I have seen people fall and just look around and say, I can't believe God let me fall. I can't believe God let somebody do me that way. I can't believe that. Believe, buddy. Look up. He's looking down. Get a hold of him. And you'll rise up through the power structure that he has designed through the Word, through the Spirit. The body of believers that come to the house of God, it is an imperative that you have the hands working and the feet working and the clothing when it's cold. And when you're hurting, it's just nice to have somebody around. It's me, Renly. We love you, but we gotta love you. We enjoy you. I hope you give your mother and dad some times where they get over it. Look at that. Isn't it wonderful to be able to have a plumber? Isn't it wonderful that there are people that can put their arm around you and say, look, man, I had a few little troubles myself, but what I know about life, God's bigger than problems, and he's going to be with us, and we are the body of Christ, and we share heartbeats, and we share brokenness, and we share heartaches, and we share joys, and we share everything we can. And that bloodline just keeps on working. The name of Jesus is the authority that drives demons away, drives weariness away, drives fatigue away, drives all the other junk away. And all of a sudden, I got over it. I'm living in glory. I'm living in fire and the power structure of Jesus Christ. Humans have and can take God's earth, world, sky, and put the science of it all together. They build and equip all necessary things to go and live in outer space for days. Wow, that was a new world. The stories will keep coming back. We ought to have some wonderful stories about having to go so far and having to do so much and go strengthening and exercising ourselves unto godliness. I don't want to be a shallow person and always wish, well, I wish this would happen and I wish that would happen. No, I want to grasp it while it's here. I want to take faith and put it in my hand and say, I will work the work of God. I will listen so I can hear the voice of God. I'm not interested in hearing all those people that have all that lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life and all that junk. I'm not following them. I may listen to them just to see what's going on in their world. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm listening for the voice of an angel. And I've tried the last 6 months to mention demons and angels quite a bit because I want us to understand the difference. Demon is an angel of darkness. Demons will tell you you ought to get a divorce. Demons will tell you you ought to be mean to somebody. Demons will tell you, and they will point out areas in your world to make it seem like that would be what I need. That's demons. God will never send an angel to down there and to make you to damn somebody or to hurt somebody or to destroy your own self. That will never be. It will never be an angel of God that tells you you ought to give up on this church thing, being the body of Christ and living godly and all of the powerful things that God has promised. No, no, no. That will be an angel of darkness, which is a demon. A demon will try to put it in your mind that you're too weak, that you can't take the problem. God will never send you into a situation that you can't handle or go through. That's why he put all those stories in that book. He showed you the Hebrew children in that fiery furnace. He showed you the Daniel in the lion's den. He showed you Paul with stripes on his back. There are a lot of, he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but that doesn't mean he don't love you. That means he is with you, and he is going to heal you, and he is going to help you overcome everything. And he said, do not be discouraged. I'm here to try to teach us and to preach to us at the same time. Teaching is informing, and preaching is pushing you. That's where you preach, you know, you just keep on pushing. Information is you hand them information, not money. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the greatest thing in the world. And if this world will spend the billions of dollars they're spending to try to find a new world, what in the world would the church of Jesus Christ be willing to do? Hallelujah. I'm about to shout right now on Wednesday night Bible study. I'm having myself a time just thinking about all this stuff that God has put in place so that you and I can walk uprightly and eschew evil. Move it out of the way. Get out of my way, lying spirit. Get out of my way, you divorcing spirit. Get out of my way, you calamity howler. Get out of my way. I'm not listening to all that junk. I've got my ear tuned in to another world. The Prince of Peace is saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are weary and heavy laden and burdened down with care, and I will give you rest. I'll put you in a setting where you can handle all that's going on. Ladies and gentlemen, if they're willing to go through all the stress and struggle to get out yonder to where they were, and all of that money that they have spent, we ought not to feel bad about spending quite a bit of money on the house of God. So we're coming close to the end of the pictures, at least. The Bible said, we shall rule and reign with him. This same Jesus, whom you have seen go away, shall so come in like manner. But if we cannot rule our own body, we don't get the freedom of living the life he promised. And so he said, crucify the flesh. You better do it every day. I find myself having to do it every day, or I'll get wandering off out there mentally and physically, even if I'm not careful, because there are so many things that go along with all of the things, and I'm not weeping because of being a pastor, but there's just a whole lot of things. You're about to get a new one, and I'm just going to tell you, it's not always easy, but it's always worth it. It is wonderfully worth it. And so I want to encourage you, if we cannot rule our own body, we cannot rule the demons and the devils that are trying to weary and fatigue you so that you don't feel like I'm a good mother, and I don't feel like I'm a good dad, and I don't feel like I'm a good son, or I don't feel like I'm a good daughter. All that junk that the demons try to tantalize your eye and mind with, always trying to force you to feel like, oh my God, all this stuff. No, shake it off. The way you do it, you don't just shake it off and kick it off. You start praising. Because the Bible said the Lord does what? Brother Jim, about to say it. He inhabits. The rendering there says he pitches a tent and dwells where people praise him. And I'm about to shout for you, with you. I'm here to tell you that one of the worst things in the world is to cave in when you feel like you're in jail. When you feel like everybody's done you wrong, one of the greatest feelings is to look up and find the eyes of Jesus that say, I went through it for you. That's why I've got a spirit for you. I was tempted in all points such as you without sin. And I've got a spirit that's pure and godly and holy and wonderful and glorious and always eternally. It is there. It is there. It don't always come as quick as you want it, but as quick as you can crucify your flesh, you can get it. The presentation is there. So the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. The responsible party for every man is to know Jesus. And the head of the woman is for the man that knows Jesus to help the lady. And the head of Christ is God. And so it goes on over. All is coming together. I sense it. You sense it. We realize that this world is at the chaotic level that he said it would. Evil men shall wax worse and worse. Evil men shall wax worse and worse. He didn't tell us that they would all get all things fixed up. He said evil men will wax worse and worse. And that's where the church, the light, is going to help our kids. It's going to help our neighbors. That's why we're not giving up. Whatever it takes, keep praising, keep loving, keep caring, keep forgiving. Do exactly what he did for me. He kept loving, he kept caring, he kept forgiving. He kept on until one day I walked out of most of it. I still get a little tempted every now and then. I don't want you to think I'm ready to go totally yet. I'm going to keep fighting the fight of faith, okay? But I'm trying to tell you that the only way you can move forward is to do the right things. So as the musicians come, John 15 and 5, he just plugs in and tells you, I am the vine. You are the branch. It's not an accident. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth. The same shall bring forth. One more time. I want you to get ready to look for it tomorrow. He's going to bring fruit to your life. One of the fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, wonderful stuff. I'm here to tell you he's already prepared it for you. The angels of God are going to try to get past the demons of hell and get to your home and get to your car and get to your job and get to every place over here where you and I are working. And all of a sudden, Renly, Mom and Dad is going to teach you how to do all this. Look at that. Would you mind showing her to the people behind her? She's ready to hold me. Such were some of you. We were babes in Christ. And I just couldn't go past taking advantage She's not ready to do everything we do. And it, new people coming in, they're not going to be ready to do everything we do in a month or week, a year, 5 years. No. We're all keep growing. And so what happens? Thank you, Renly. The hallelujah side going. I wish we'd stand and I wish you'd say it to yourself. I want to rule and reign with him. I'm going to pray the word until I rule and reign with him. Not going to live in some pig pen. I'm coming out of whatever. I'm not going to feel defeated. I'm not going to feel like it's not worth it. I refuse to feel that way about my life. I'm tempted a lot, but I'm not going to give in. That's when you fight the fight of faith and you lay hold on a scripture. The word, the life is in the word. Could we pray right now? First of all, praise. And then I'd like for you to pray for about two or three people that you really want to see come to strength and power. And if you want to slip down to the front tonight, wonderful. That's fine. This Wednesday night is a night of sovereignty with the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. So much for keeping this place so alive.